And then our second reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 39 to 45. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greetings, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of the Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." May the Lord bless this reading and our understanding of it this morning. Well, I mentioned we're in the third week of Advent. The last 2 weeks, we've learned a bit more about Mary and her interactions with the angel Gabriel. And then we talked about Joseph and his reaction to learning of Mary's pregnancy and his subsequent change of heart following an angelic visit of his own. Well, this week, we're going to learn more about what happened following Mary's startling realization that she is to be the mother of the long-awaited Messiah. First, I can imagine that those moments immediately following Gabriel's visit, where Mary asked herself, "Did that just happen? Was this real? Did I just hear that I'm to be the mother of the Messiah? And if I'm pregnant with this child, what am I to do now?" Nothing was ever written about Mary's family situation, and we don't know what her home life might have been like. Her parents or other relatives are never mentioned. But I'm sure she went over and over in her mind that conversation that she had with Gabriel. And she remembered the words of the angel telling her that Elizabeth was now 6 months pregnant. This by itself would have seemed like a miracle to Mary, because from what we know, Elizabeth was well past her childbearing years. What did you figure out, Rich? 88 years. So she was not expecting to be pregnant. And the scripture says that Mary went with haste to the Judean town where Elizabeth and Zechariah lived. As I thought about this, it occurred to me that there could be a few reasons why Mary was led in this direction. One, she probably was eager to talk with someone that she knew and that she knew would love her and listen to her without judging her. And one of her first fears would have been a fear for her own life. She knew the law. A betrothed woman that is pregnant out of wedlock was to be stoned. She was afraid of the reaction of her family, perhaps, and of that small community of Nazareth. So it seemed like a good idea to get out of town. A visit to Mary presented the perfect opportunity. And the fact that Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant gave Mary the perfect reason to visit and stay for a while without raising any suspicions. It would have also given her some time to think and to see if she was in fact pregnant as the angel had promised. So she traveled 9 difficult days from Nazareth to the town of Ein Kerem, just outside of Jerusalem. And this alone was evidence of her need to find someone that she could share this news with and try to understand what it would have, the impact it would have on the remainder of her life. Well, Elizabeth, you recall, was married to a priest named Zechariah. You may remember the story of Zechariah serving as a priest in the temple when he too was visited by an angel. This angel was the one that told him that Elizabeth was to be pregnant and to give birth to a child named John. This is none other than John the Baptist. Zechariah, of course, if Elizabeth was 88, he doubted, and he expressed his doubt to that angel. And the angel struck him mute until such time as the baby was born. It's fascinating to me how so many different things had to happen and come together so simultaneously, so that this little Jesus child could be born. So after 9 days of travel, Mary arrives at the home of Elizabeth and Zechariah. And what happens next is just another miracle in this story of miracles. As Mary enters the home, she greets Elizabeth. And at the sound of Mary's voice, Scripture tells us that Elizabeth feels the baby within her leap with joy. And she is filled with the Holy Spirit and speaks these prophetic words. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me? Now, Mary has just arrived. She has only had time to enter the home and to give a greeting. Elizabeth would have had no way of knowing anything about what had happened to Mary. See, there were no cell phones, no Twittering or tweeting, no Facebook pages, no Snapchats. There would have been no way for Elizabeth to have known this. But Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and it was God Himself that revealed to her the miracle that was happening through Mary. And then Elizabeth confirmed something else, that Mary not only heard the angel Gabriel, but believed in her heart that what was spoken would be fulfilled, because she speaks these words. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. See, unlike Zechariah, Mary believed. Up to this moment, I imagine Mary was a very lonely and frightened 13-year-old in a big and ugly world, not knowing whether she had a friend she could rely on. A world where a woman in her condition could be ostracized and even killed. And what a flood of relief it must have been for her as these words from Elizabeth washed over her. With the revelation from the Holy Spirit, Elizabeth recognizes Mary's condition and affirms that this child is truly from the Lord. She also becomes the very first person in all the Gospels to refer to Jesus as Lord. Upon hearing these words from Elizabeth, Mary's fear melts away and is replaced with overpowering joy. For Mary's next words are words of joy and praise. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. These are the very first words of Mary's song, also called the Magnificat. Words that we spoke together this morning in our call to worship, whether you realized it or not. I'd like to talk about something else that Elizabeth's response to Mary, what it meant when she was filled with God's Spirit. You may have noticed that Elizabeth uses the word blessed three times. She uses it twice when referring to Mary and once to this unborn child. Now, blessed is a word that we use quite a bit, don't we, in our faith? And I think we often use it without realizing completely what it means. Adam Hamilton, one of the authors I study, refers to something called the paradox of blessing or blessedness. A paradox is any word that seems to contradict itself. Let's say you use the term wise fool. That's a paradox. One that Terry and I laugh about often during this season is how so much of the advertising talks about all the money we are going to save when we go shopping. Unfortunately, when I open those credit card bills, I can't find those savings. All I can find is what I spent. That's a paradox. The word blessed is often used to refer to someone that has overcome a health issue or has gained wealth or power or prestige. When we describe our blessings, we often speak about our homes, our jobs, or our health. But in all honesty, being blessed has nothing to do with material wealth or even our own physical well-being. You see, Mary's blessing isn't about any of these things. To be blessed means that you are being used as part of God's plan. To be blessed means that you are being used to bring about part of God's plan. It's about being used by God for the purpose of His kingdom here on earth. So this blessedness We shouldn't become confused with living a life of ease and comfort or having lots of material possessions as blessings, because in fact, it can be quite the opposite. Think about Mary for a moment. For her to be blessed meant facing the task of telling Joseph that she was pregnant, facing the disbelief and ostracism and maybe even the persecution of her family and friends, undergoing the hardships of pregnancy and giving birth in a time where there was very little, if any, medical help or support, being forced to flee to Egypt with her family when Herod came looking for this child, watching as others tried to destroy her child, Jesus, during his ministry, to include the very people of her hometown, and then watching her son suffer and die on a cross. Yet Elizabeth calls her blessed among all women. If you go back and read again the lines from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, this definition of being blessed makes a bit more sense. Blessed are the poor, the meek, those who mourn. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Yes, we are a blessed people, but only in so much that we are being consistent with God's plan for our lives, in obedient servants to the life that God calls us to. Finally, and I touched on this a moment ago, this encounter between Mary and Elizabeth totally changes Mary's perspective on what is happening. Her resulting joy revealed in the words of the Magnificat, which comes from the Latin word meaning to magnify or praise. These words echo from a psalm that Mary would have known and had learned as a child. And these are the words of Hannah, who was the mother of Samuel, the great prophet, where she said, "My heart exalts in the Lord, my strength is exalted in my God." So even though the scripture doesn't say specifically, I believe that Mary was also filled with the Holy Spirit that day, and that her words reveal to us something of God's character. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. I mentioned last week how Herod the Great desired recognition and power and even hoped to be recognized as the Messiah, but that was not God's plan. God lifted up the lowly and scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. And this is not an isolated incident, but it happens again and again and again in the stories of how God works in this world. Very often the proud are brought down and the humble are lifted up. God favors the humble and shows his mercy to those who are merciful, people like Mary and Joseph, like you and me. These are the people that God chooses to work with. Praise be to God.